Howdy, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 200th of March. Oh, no, sorry. I believe that's the 10th of September. Sometimes I get the month and the year numbers wrong. I am your host, Kelly Gamont.
2020.
Is it still?
Still.
I'm in denial right now, John, so... You know, spoiler alert. Let's see if anyone can guess who's on the show today. With me today, I have.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm into Columbia. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
I'm in denial. No, I'm not. Good morning. Maybe not.
Oh, it's going to be that show today. All right. Apparently, the title of Adult in the Room today goes to Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Charlotte Henry's no longer here.
Okay, Charlotte Henry has left the meeting. Well, that's too bad, because Charlotte, I actually wanted to start with you and an interesting thing that came up with regards to a new mechanism that is going to be available in the App Store.
Yeah, this is interesting, and I hadn't noticed it in the Apple documentation. Readers may be surprised that sometimes I do other things than read Apple and App Store documentation. But this one I saw pointed out in another article, and it refers to offer codes that will be available to developers in the App Store. And the documentation, it's just a short paragraph, and it says offer codes can help you acquire, retain and win back subscribers, as well as give existing subscribers opportunities to upgrade or cross-grade to a new subscription within the same subscription group. Interesting, it goes on to say you can distribute these unique one-time codes however you choose, using online and offline channels. For example, you might provide offer codes through email, give them out at events, or provide them alongside a physical product. Interesting.
Very interesting.
I mean, give them out at events, lol. We'll move on from that. But the idea that, say, a publisher who is in Apple News or could email subscribers and say, okay, we know you subscribe to us through the App Store. If you want to upgrade, you can do it with this code, is very interesting to me. It will obviously apply to games and all sorts of things, I believe. But the one that I read an article on Media Post by Rob Williams that was talking about it in the context of publishers. And I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. Because we've discussed before how if you go to a certain magazine or a newspaper website, you can get a subscription offer for one price. If you do it through the App Store, through Apple News... the price can be different. It can be all, you know, that has a set price, which is normally higher, whereas on a website or an email from a publisher or whatever, they can offer you for whatever they deem is acceptable. But Apple obviously doesn't really allow that level of flexibility through the App Store. So with the App Store under a bit of scrutiny, we've heard different stories about annoyed news publishers and news publishers moving away. Most notably, the New York Times is no longer on Apple News at all. But it still does have an app, and you can subscribe through the app. So it just struck me as very interesting, this. Obviously, anyone using such a offer code would still pay the Apple tax, 15% to 30%.
Right.
But it does give developers of all kinds, but particularly news publishers, a little bit of flexibility and ways to attract people into their subscription service, which I think is very notable.
I think this is an outcome of WWDC. My theory is this: one of the things that's irritated developers for a long time, they surfaced this strongly to Apple at WWDC as one of their big griefs. And Apple made it happen, and I think it's great.
The not being able to have like a one-off offer in the App Store, that part, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think John's right that it's been frustrating to developers and content producers of all sorts, the lack of flexibility within the App Store. So if you're having a game, you can't tempt someone in for like a month for a pound or a dollar.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you get your 5 days free, your 7 days free or whatever, and then you have to pay full price. You can't kind of lure people in that way, or you notice someone has given up their subscription and you try and win them back with a cheaper offer. There's never been that flexibility within that app store ecosystem. And whether through kind of the goodness of their hearts to help developers, or through desperation to keep the, you know, to try and hold the whole show together, I'll let you guess which one I think. Apple is making this move. It says on at the moment that the Find is coming soon, so that may be an iOS 14 thing we see. I don't know. It'll be worth. I'll be keeping an eye out for it because I think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
for
and
a lot
I think
of different things.
I think it's the re-up is the one that is probably where Apple gets the most feedback. This is based on nothing except knowing the number of times that I've subscribed to something and not been real pleased with, like, been pleased enough with it at the intro rate, but maybe not enjoyed full price.
Since it's a
binary system, like, I'm absolutely never going to pay for it at that amount of money, whatever it is. So I just give up, you know, and I'm not subscribed anymore. And if you wanted me to come back for a little bit less, then that's a thing I might do in a number of cases. So I think that piece that you bring up is probably the most common. Like if I were a developer, that would probably be the one that I would want. Is I want to be able to bring people back, you know, from the
intro. That's right, and I think that's particularly pertinent to publishers and news brands.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
not, you know, there's games, it's one thing, and other kinds of, or, you know, different app services. But I think for news publishers, someone read this magazine for a month for free, or like at the, as you say, at an intro rate. But there's some big news events. Maybe they'll want us for the next month.
Yeah, and I think
the question is, what took Apple so long?
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say is I think it's that the relationship with publishers. I think it's partly that. Well, I think the offer code thing verges on upgrade pricing, and I think a lot of people would be a lot less unhappy with the App Store if there were an actual upgrade pricing path, the way software has had for many, 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 many years. But I think specifically with regards to publishing, Charlotte, I think it's that Apple's relationship with publishers is not the same as their relationship with developers. And I think somebody like the Washington Post or the New York Times or Condé Nast, which has a bunch of magazines, I think their relationship with Apple is sort of odd in that it's kind of in this gray area of like they're a media producer the way a record label is. Like we produce content regularly that people consume on your hardware. But also we're developers. We have an app in the App Store. We're subject to all of those rules and everything as well. And so it's this weird sort of other relationship, you know, in this other odd category. You know, it's complicated. Isn't that the like relationship status?
I think the relationship status is definitely, it's complicated. It's complicated a bit more by Apple News and also News Plus. But, you know, Condé Nast, the two examples you picked up on, Condé Nast is not, none of their magazines are in News Plus. New York Times, as we discussed before, withdrew totally from Apple News. You do not see any Apple, any New York Times article in the news app at all.
But there is a New York Times app.
But there that is you can a get, New York yeah. Times app. Right. But if you go to the New York Times website, you can get loads of different offers. You do not get that on the app.
Nope.
And instead of the New York Times driving you to their website, this may allow them to do the same thing, but drive you to their app, which you probably might be where you are anyway. And I suspect it's a bit of give and take on both, but the bottom Apple still makes money from this because even they still take the Apple tax.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's the bit I'm interested in with this is the developer, or not the developer piece of it, but the publisher piece of it. Even though this is something that is sort of available as something that developers are going to be interested in. Having it be available as a publishing option, I think, is also going to be very interesting. So I guess we'll see. But right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a minute and I'd like to talk to you about our sponsor. Our sponsor this week is Mint Mobile. And I've been telling you about them all week. If you're considering breaking up with them, breaking up with your old wireless provider is now a lot easier because of Mint Mobile. They were the first company to sell premium wireless service online only. And now they are introducing their unlimited data plan for $30 a month. Let me tell you that again. Unlimited data plan for $30 a month. So when you think about that, how much is your future ex wireless provider charging you for that now? If you're ready to forsake your current provider, you can switch to Mint Mobile and get a premium unlimited plan for $30 a month. And you're totally covered because if you're not 100% satisfied, they will give you, they have a 7-day money back guarantee. So if you don't like it, you can switch back, no harm, no foul. You get to use your own phone with any plan. You can keep your same phone number. You get to keep all your contacts, all the apps that are on your device, all of that's fine. I've been using it and switching over was easy. Activation was a snap. Everything was online. Saved me a trip to anywhere because everything I needed showed up in the mail. It was great. So I haven't had a chance to test my reception everywhere. However, everywhere I have gone, the reception I've had has been at least as good as it was on my big name provider. So if you want to switch, you can switch to Mint Mobile and get your unlimited wireless plan for $30 a month by going to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. And you can head over there and get your unlimited wireless plan for $30 a month. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. Start saving on your wireless plan today. And we'd like to thank Mint Mobile for sponsoring the show. Now, our other topic today is the reason, even though you can't see it on a podcast, I'm sitting here with my knitting because I have Charlotte and I have John. And John wrote an article yesterday about Apple's new little oversharing privacy video. And go.
The worst Apple ad ever. It's silly. It's pointless. Nobody does these things. It doesn't teach us how to think about the problem properly. It gives examples that leave people amused but not informed about what the result is of what they did. And it's just awful. It has no critical element to it. It's just a sequence of bizarre vignettes of things that people don't normally do anyway. And so I wrote an article yesterday where I dissected it.
I mean, the level of missing the point is staggering.
Okay. Well, I would like to know.
If no one shouts out their heart rate or that they've just ordered pregnancy tests or something, that's the whole point of the advert, John. You wouldn't say it out loud, so why would you let your phone put it out? That's literally the point of the advert.
I enjoyed it because of that, because these are things that people don't do. This is stuff that doesn't happen. People don't stand in the park with a megaphone shouting out their credit card numbers. But by not minding your security, by not doing very basic things to keep your data private on your device or online, that's kind of what you're doing in the digital world.
There's no mechanism to instruct you about how these information is possibly leaking.
Most people just want to know their data is safe. They don't need to know the encryption process that Apple puts on their iPhone to know why it's safe.
Go ahead, Charlotte.
No, that's the thing, right? People, like, the whole point of the advert is you wouldn't shout these things out. Don't let your phone shout it out. The iPhone doesn't shout these things out. Mm-hmm. That's what the point of the ad is.
But you're not making the connection between what you do to not make your phone do those things.
You buy an iPhone. That's the whole thing. You don't need to, like, the whole point is buy an iPhone and your phone won't do these things.
Yeah. And I want to know, John, what you're learning from previous Apple ads. Like, if your point is there's nothing in that, there's no action to be taken, there's no, Apple has another privacy video. Remember we saw,
Well, the Get a Mac ads are a good example of giving a demonstration very briefly about the advantages of a Macintosh versus a Windows PC.
Okay.
Those were rife with examples. Everyone was a little vignette about how the Mac is superior in some way. It's for different audiences,
right?
Yes. I believe those ads are also from before years started with two, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, it's been a while. I mean, there was no iPhone. Either way, there was no iPhone when those ads came out.
So left hanging in the balance is figuring out, well, if I buy an Android phone, how is it my Android phone is shouting out my blood pressure?
It doesn't matter. That's not the point of the 90-second advert. The point of the 90-second advert is your iPhone gives you good privacy. If you wouldn't shout something out in the world, you wouldn't. You don't want your phone to do it, and the iPhone and the phone doesn't do it.
Yeah,
I think that's too abstract a point to be delivered in a commercial.
It's literally that simple. I think it's not abstract at all. I think that's the whole point. That's why it says mm-hmm. iPhone. That privacy. That's iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just supposed to take Apple's word for it?
Well, that's the point I've made plenty of times on this show, and you've always told me that, like, I'm too cynical and Apple is wonderful with privacy. And but, I mean, that's the whole point of it, and that I'm being too cynical and evil.
No, I'm
but
hearing the inside out of the regular arguments that are happening here.
I mean, what is going on here?
There are so many settings on the phone that help you protect your privacy.
Uh-huh.
And your location.
Sure.
And information that's being shared. And those are the things that you should be digging into. But to just buy an iPhone and take the default settings and say, well, my phone is secure. Well, it probably is, but there's still things you need to be aware of and things you need to do.
Okay.
And for a commercial, doesn't make you aware of anything. It just makes you chuckle.
Because it's a 90-second TV clip.
It makes you aware that the iPhone says that it's private. And if your data is of that big of a concern to you, then you're going to go to Apple's website and you're going to do some research. And you're going to find out that everything you send and receive in iMessage is end-to-end encrypted. You're going to find out that phone calls are handled a particular way. You're going to find out that this is the data that lives on your device. This is what we do to make sure that you know your location data is there by default.
In 68 seconds. Because 68 seconds is plenty of time to say that.
Because no offense to Kelly, that's nowhere near as catchy as the phrase privacy. That's iPhone.
No, no offense to me at all. I'm not in advertising for a reason. I mean,
it takes 3 seconds to do a catchy phrase at the end. Why not just add the catchy phrase at the end after you give an example?
John, you of all people, the reason that I wanted to talk about this is part of the reason I'm surprised by this is because you are the one who comes on here on the regular, and I'm not harshing on you for this, but this is a thing that you normally do is you go, but Apple said so, and that should be good enough. And so to have this ad come out, because all this ad is supposed to do is sort of make you pay attention. Like, of course I wouldn't do that. That's a ridiculous thing to do. Well, your phone is doing that when you're entering your credit card number into a site that's not encrypted, right? Yes, that's true. So making people stop and think about the privacy of their device may cause them to go buy an iPhone or at least to go to the website and look at it for a minute if it's a thing that's very important to them. Because at a surface level, privacy, that's iPhone. That's a good thing to get in people's heads.
And the silly video.
Kelly, I thought you were going to do some knitting.
I am knitting.
Well, while Kelly knits, the silly vignettes that you talk about are exactly the type of thing that I think relate to normal people. There's, you know, the examples in there are, I think, what's it? Someone's heart rate, someone taking prenatal vitamins or something and ordering pregnancy tests. There was a couple of other ones in there that, like, these are the type of things people wouldn't want or broadcast. Or credit card numbers is always the obvious one. And I think people assume that even as default, Apple phones and Android phones, people basically go, oh, all the big tech's taking all my data anyway. And as you regularly try to convince me, John, Apple is so much better. And this, in a relatable, normal human way, that's what this advert is. But the point this advert is making, I don't quite understand what's raised the hackles so much.
Well, I think the viewpoint I took when I was analyzing the ad was there are things that...
I mean, I think the word analyzing is where the problems start, if I'm being honest. But...
So overthinking.
Yeah.
I took the viewpoint that there are things that you can teach people how to do to protect their privacy. And I gave a concrete example So Apple isn't going to protect you from blabbing your pet's name on Twitter, but that's something you shouldn't do because somebody will probably.
So Apple doesn't own Twitter. Apple doesn't own Twitter.
But there are things you can do. There's actions you can take.
Okay, but that is not Apple's responsibility to make sure you use your iPhone responsibly. It inbuilds in its operating system privacy functions that you and actually I often say are really good and are some of the reasons we like using iPhones. That's what this advert underlines. Mm-hmm. In addition, if you want to look at other resources, read Andrew's articles about how to do secure passwords as well. Great. I definitely recommend you read all that stuff Andrew writes about data privacy. Mm-hmm. But this is a different thing, and it's not Apple's job to do that in an advert for one of its devices.
Right.
Well, it's Apple's job to teach you how to use your iPhone properly, and there are settings that you can do and your things you can, actions you can take to
that's what Apple support is for. That's what their YouTube channel's for. That's what the little pamphlet that comes with your phone is for.
And I don't see
that's not what a 90-second commercial is for. The 90-second commercial is to make you sell a phone.
You're so busy laughing at it. Well, it doesn't convince you of anything. It just tells you that that all this information that the phone has, like your credit cards and your blood pressure and your pulse, is just not announced. So what? What's your conclusion? Am I supposed to draw? How does it do that? Why does it do that?
No one else. Most normal people don't care. It's just a good thing for them that their device has some extra privacy compared to other models of phones.
I think it's just
you and I are
upping a profile
to hang your hat on.
You and I are interested.
It's all flash and trash. There's no substance.
I mean, it's not
you. You laugh at the vignettes and then it says buy a phone. Well, that's a pretty dumb way of handling your life, you know, just being led around by the nose.
Well, I doubt anybody's going into Best Buy, but it's not like anybody's going into Best Buy and going, I saw an ad on the TV and now I need an iPhone. Like, no, that's not how it works. But
for some people who may be deciding between an iPhone 11 and a Samsung Galaxy S20, they might go, ooh, is the iPhone a bit more private?
What is the
maybe
privacy?
I'll spend two. Do I care about it? Maybe I'll spend two minutes reading the websites and comparing, and then maybe I'll buy an iPhone. I don't think it's more complicated than that.
I think
the
this
doesn't
is,
give you any more information than you need to make a decision. It's just boastful.
It doesn't have to. I know Apple makes the iPhone.
Our toothpaste reduces your cavities 21%. You know, it's just a boast.
Okay, but here's the thing, it's an advert, so all adverts. the beautifully animated stop motion Christmas time ad didn't tell me anything objective about how to use my computer. Do I love it? Is it beautiful? Does it make me happy every time I see it? Yes. Does it tell me anything concrete about the computer that the girl is using to create the things that she's creating? No. But you know what?
I'll give it. This advert tells you more, by the way.
Yeah.
Your life is better in concrete ways through demonstration, and those ads show you.
No, John, your life is better in concrete ways with demonstration.
And that's going to do it for us today. We may be back for another round tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see what happens when I stop recording. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John Martellaro, thanks for coming by.
I'm in denial. No, I'm not. Glad to be here. Bye. And sure,
okay. Also with me, Charlotte Henry. Thank you for being here as always.
I have absolutely no idea what's just happened in the last 20 minutes.
It's for the best, but it might be on tape, so you might be able to get a playback later. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.